Father, we want to thank you because you're such a merciful, faithful, and a good God. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully aware of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that indeed has been compressed into this written word. Therefore, we need divine assistance and help to unravel it. Therefore, we pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips. Indeed, I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. I pray that the same unction and anointing will be put upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause my will, our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray as we speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to back these words and follow them wherever they're heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes indeed and free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and are hearers only. Further pray for mercy, to be faithful as I deliver the word. My Father, I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned, if they were listening during that prayer, agreed with me and said,
Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 4, where Paul, or rather Peter, was telling us about how husbands and wives should behave. But you know, if you will get the right thought pattern, you will find that, you know, he's been saying a lot of things in from chapter 2. He's talking about our relationship with a civil authority, with governments, you know, and it says likewise. You see, likewise means, you know, he's comparing it to something. So in the same way, there's a great thought here that we must not lose. And the thought is this: it's all an attitude problem. Hello. Your attitude towards the government and kings and those authorities, your attitude towards your boss at work. Now, he now brings it to the home. There, I've said this before, but it bears repetition. There are three divine institutions. A divine institution is one that was set up by God, not man. Okay? The first one is the home. The second one is the church. And the third one is civil society. Governments were not man's idea. It's God. The powers that be are ordained of God. If there was no government, the sin nature in man would have caused chaos on the earth. Thank God for governments. Even with the governments, there is chaos. But you can imagine what would have happened if there was no law. Talk about the rule of law. Hallelujah. It's God himself that put it. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the American Constitution. You know, I read a book many years ago, and it came back to me. You know, after, you know, England, rather America, they don't like to hear this, but they're a colony, amen. You know, they came out of England. And the reason, you have to read the history, you know, go and read it, the Boston Tea Party and all that. The English kings were so oppressive. They oppressed because they were collecting taxes and all of that, you know, from the American colonies, and they were paying their taxes. It wasn't as if, but you know, after a while they were asked for this and asked for that, and the English king was a sovereign monarch. If he woke up in the middle of the night in a bad mood, he would just say, go and do this. So they were under the rule of a man. So when America rebelled and decided to form these United States of America, the founding fathers, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and others, they came together to write the American Constitution under God. It was the Holy Spirit. You know, and because of the experience of the whims and caprices of an unregenerate man who was not born again, but was their king, and did as it seemeth good unto him. They decided to come forth with a document that will not allow any human being to be subject to the whims and caprices of any man. And what I remember that really blessed me was, they said, you cannot trust the nature of man. This is what I read in the book. This was the thinking of the people who were the American. You cannot, because they themselves knew that they too were fallen men. And that's why it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and have a right to pursuit of happiness. But the point I want to make is this. I don't want to get off my point. They recognized the sin nature in man. They didn't call it sin nature, but they recognized that man's nature was such that if you gave him absolute power, he would become absolutely corrupt. Hence, you will hear, absolute power corrupts. It's true. If you don't have God inside you, it will corrupt you. And they don't have God. The fallen man, the natural man, doesn't have God. So they said this. They said, we cannot trust any man with total power. So we will bind him with the chains of the Constitution. Oh, that's beautiful. We bind him. So that's why the Constitution is so robust. And then you have the independence of the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive. And all three arms of government are equal. So if the executive begins to misbehave, the judiciary can step in and say, thus far you go and no more. The legislature can step in so that no one man can just control everything. Do you know that the Godhead is similar? Three. Executive, legislature, judiciary. And God operates with the Constitution. That's why we have the Word of God. And that is why He has magnified His Word above His name. It was God who taught them. So these three institutions, the home, government, and the church, they're ruled by the rule of law. You can't just wake up and do anything you like. Even God can't do what He likes. He wanted to destroy Israel. They got angry, and rightly so. And Moses said, don't you do that. And the Bible says God repented. A big lesson for all of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, if God can repent, who do you think you are? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So likewise, he's telling us that the same attitude you have towards government, the same attitude towards you have, your boss in the office, all these institutions that have been set up by God, is the same as you have to have at home. Likewise, ye wives, being subject unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, we looked at all of this the other time. I'm not going to go through all of it again. But in these first four verses, Peter reveals to us that a woman with the right attitude, without even talking, a meek and a quiet spirit, the one of the modern translations says, not quarrelsome. Hallelujah. Can win her husband just with her attitude. It shows you how powerful spiritual forces are. No talk. Just the right attitude will cause that spirit of love and meekness to come out, and it will capture the man without saying a word. I think all our women should exercise this. Incidentally, and all the men too. We're going to get to us. I walked over them last week. I'm going to walk over us today. Praise the Lord. And then, one very important point here, which we saw in verses 3 and 4, was the question of dressing. And I'm just going to, I emphasized a lot of it last week on my last lesson. But I'm just going to summarize it in a very robust, by the help of the Holy Spirit, manner. And it is this. God is not saying Let's say what God is not saying, and then we'll tell you what God is saying. He's not saying you can't wear gold. He's not saying you can't wear fine clothes. And he's not certainly not saying you can't do your hair. And I'm going to prove it to you from Scripture, you know. But right on the other hand, you know, we've got two sets of people in the church. You got the we Pentecostals who have the liberty of the Spirit. And so we just want to, we've gone to the other extreme, and we're so concentrate on the external and wearing clothes, and then we spend 6 hours doing our hair and 20 minutes praying. Hello. All right. Okay. And then you got the other people in the other extreme that are so legalistic and believe that if you just even touch anything like earring or gold, or you wear anything that is fine, you're certainly going to hell. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, which is just a complete misunderstanding of that scripture. You know, so either extreme is wrong. What the truth is in the middle of the road, and this is the truth. What God wants is this. He wants you to firstly put priority on your inner man. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. This is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. You need to, and it takes time and effort to do it. You don't get the fruit of the Spirit automatically. You know, gifts are automatic, fruits aren't. Fruits grow. And one thing about growth is that you need the right environment and you need time. Hello, somebody. Oh, time is very important. Ask anybody who has... who has a farm, you know, maybe apples or any kind of fruit, you know, tree, you got to tend it, you got to weed it, you got to water it, you know, it takes time. It takes time and care. Now, watch this. That time and care is what you have to give to your spirit for it to grow fruit. Yes, sir. But you're giving too much time and care for your hair, and you're giving too much time and care for your clothes, so you're not neglecting the time and care you should give to your spirit to cause the fruit to come. That is the lesson of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. And the other scriptures that talk about this in the New Testament. So we prioritize. That's what Jesus said anyway. When he said seek ye first the kingdom. He didn't say only. He just said first. You know, if God knows we're in this world, and we have to look at other things. So he couldn't say I've said do that only. He just said do it first. Make it a priority. So, ladies and men, we make the care for our inner man of the spiritual thing. We put that first priority. Then, after we've done that, then we also look after the outer man. So, it is very important to dress properly. It's very important to wear nice clothes. It's important for women to wear earrings and do their hair and look beautiful. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. It's all part of glorifying God. I ended my last lesson saying, if you don't like fine things, don't go to heaven. You go and look at heaven and you see God taking care, you know, very, very elaborate about decoration and beauty. You know, a lot of heaven is not structural, it's aesthetic. You don't have to make a gate of one pearl to make it an effective gate. If all you're thinking about is just the structure and the function, don't put a gate there. But God put a pearl there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's because he cares about aesthetics. So God cares about looking nice. And you can't take it away from us. However legalistic you get. Amen. So God's helped us to find the balance. Now look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 36, 26 rather, 23, 26, Matthew, yeah. And this scripture captures the spirit of what I'm saying, the essence. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse, everybody say, first, that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. God cares about the inside and the outside. But he wants to take care of the inside first and then take care of the outside. So women, it's okay. But take care of the inside first. So every woman here, every woman who will be listening to me, Ask yourself every day, how much time do I spend on makeup? I'm serious. Doing my hair, looking in the mirror. And how much time do I spend in prayer? Then make sure it balances. I didn't say you shouldn't make up. I didn't say you shouldn't spend time in front of the mirror. But make sure you put the spiritual first. And it's after that, then you now bring the physical in and also look good on the outside. Is this clear? It's not wrong to use makeup. It's not wrong to wear jewelry. It's not wrong to have fine clothes and wear fine clothes. No, it's not wrong. But it is wrong if you don't do the first. Hello. I didn't hear any hallelujahs. So. I didn't hear the women. I heard the men. They don't like this pastor and all this. You know, pastor, leave this place. There are other things to preach in the Bible. I know people are saying that. Now, to further confirm what I've said, I didn't do this last week. I did mention it, but I want to just give you scripture. Look at Proverbs chapter 31 and look at verse 22. I want to show you scripture, you know, because I know I said it glancingly and I said it in passing, but I want to give you, God told me this one as I was praying, said, show them scripture. Look at this, is the virtuous woman. This is the woman that God, he doesn't give us her name, but it was Bathsheba, you know, Solomon's mother. But, you know, he's talking generally and he's giving you the picture of a kind of woman God wants every woman of God to be. Hello? And he says this about her. He says a lot of things about her. You can summarize the virtuous woman by the fact that she's a spiritual person, she's industrious, and she's also generous. That really summarizes the virtuous woman. And by the mercy and the grace of God, I've said that about my wife over the years. And that's not the flattery, just the truth, to the glory of God. Amen? Now, she says she makes herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is what? Silk and purple. That's expensive clothing. So the first preacher cannot be saying we shouldn't wear expensive clothes. Are you listening to me? I'm not done yet. Look at Genesis chapter 24. This is going to really mess up the theology. You know, legalism is always a result of not studying the Word of God properly. And in balance. Look at Genesis 24. We're going to look at three verses there. Look at verse 22. This is, of course, the story of the servant that went to get Rebecca for Isaac. You know, he's a type of the bride of Christ. This is not spiritual. It happened. It's not symbolic. You know, before you know it's on, the bread will say, oh, it's your same. It's not symbolic gold. It's real gold. And it came to pass, as soon as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands. So ladies, it's okay to wear gold earrings. And it's okay to wear gold bracelets. Am I helping anybody here? Amen. But remember, first. Now I'll give you another scripture, I think, which is there. It's all here in Genesis 24. I remember years ago when I read it, I said, why do people preach this thing upside down? And the woman can't wear gold. And here, the daughter-in-law of the father of faith, God begins to show us gold. Thank God we have the Bible. They would have deceived us. Hello. And look at verse 30. And it came to pass, when he's talking about labor now, you know, the girl had come from the well. Rebecca is different. She has earring and bracelets on his sister's hands. Then jump to verse. I want to put it in scripture so that you get it. Of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to who? Hello. So scripture is not saying women can't wear gold. It's not saying they can't wear earrings. It's not saying they can't dress properly. It's not saying they shouldn't wear fine clothes. These are all things that God used to adorn his people. However, he is saying that we should not make that the priority of our lives. Hello? Put the spiritual first. take, make sure you do the inner man first. Then you can put on the other. And you know, when the inner man is okay, then the outer man will be done with moderation. Now, moderation for one person is not moderation for a second person. Hello? Hello? It's very important. You know, what one person can afford, and at different times of your life, you'll be in one particular situation, a different part of the house, God blesses you, able to buy more things. So never feel guilty because you have good things. If you got them in righteousness. We'll be talking about that later today. That's why I don't like Pastor Luby's preaching. So I was going to add that little bit. But, you know, that's the thing that keeps us the balance. That's what the Bible says, the whole counsel of God. You know, Jesus said, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. We will not omit the weightier matters of the law to satisfy your itching ears. We will tell you the total truth. So first, take care of the inner man. Then you can also take care of the outer man. And it is okay to wear nice clothes, jewelry, and all of that. In moderation, depending on your level of finances. It would be stupid now for a woman who is earning some, going to put her husband under pressure to go and start buying very expensive gold when they haven't paid the children's school fees and they haven't, you know, taking care of things inside the house. Then you go and buy jewelry. That's stupid. Oh, I should be. Hello. Pastor Boyga gave it to me, so... attack him, not me. Praise the Lord. But seriously, it's not wrong in those things. But and then it's at different times. As you grow in your life, when my wife and I first started, we couldn't afford so many things. We just managed what we had. Amen. And then as God blesses you, you can buy more nicer things. That's fine too. Amen. But all in all, the inner man comes first. Everyone say, inner man comes first. Glory to God. Have I helped anybody here? Glory to God. So when anybody tries to... I gave all the scriptures because if people try and put you on a corner, just give them scripture. And then tell them what I said. First. And then they'll know you know what you're talking. In fact, they'll shut up when you start talking. Praise the Lord. Right. Now, verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also... who trusted in God, adorned themselves. So you can see this adorning isn't physical only. He's talking about your whole conduct. Being in what? Subjection unto their own husbands. Verse 6. Even as, I didn't hear you, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well. Look at the conditionality that determines whose spiritual offspring you are. I didn't write the Bible, don't get mad at me. Praise the Lord. So long as ye do. You know, in other words, you know, you just can't start claiming Abraham is my father. Jesus said that to the Jews. Now, watch this. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed. I said, I know. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're not doing the works of Abraham. Then he said, I know whose father you really are. Your real father is the devil. Even though, physically, you are Abraham's seed. Not all Israel is Israel. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not all born again is born again. Amen. Yes, I know you're born again. I know you're a child of God. But you have to show me your fruit. Hello? Hello? And Pastor Luke Jones is my father. Am I really your father? Are you following me? Do you understand? You see, that's why God puts these things inside the Bible for the balance. He says, as long as you do well, and I'm not afraid with any amazement or embarrassment. And you don't start, you say you're Abraham, you say you're Sarah's daughter. Then you go and start misbehaving and doing things Sarah didn't do. You know? So, what's the balance here? What is God telling us here? He's saying, wives, learn to be submissive to your husbands. I'm going to get to husbands in a minute. You know? even when it's not convenient. And that's why he went to go and choose the very extreme example of Sarah. You know, Abraham told Sarah, I said, when we get to this place, tell them you're my sister. And which she was. Back in the olden days, they were allowed to do that. You know, it's no longer correct now. You know, after the time of Israel, God said, you can't marry your half-sister. But at that time, it was okay. So she was his half-sister. And so what he said was not it wasn't a lie. And there was a reason. He said, these people don't fear God. He said, if I get here because you're a fine woman, see, they will kill me because of you. So everywhere we go, just say you are my sister. Do you know that Sarah submitted to that? She submitted to it. That's why God used the example. We know the very story of Abimelech. And when he got there, you know, and the woman was beautiful, the woman, his sister, okay, let me take her. You know, it was God who now said, he's the wife, who, you know, and if you do this, I'll deal with you guys. And the guy said, oh Lord, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't know. And God said, I know you didn't know. Okay, now restore the woman. And he did. But the point is this. She submitted to her husband even when it was not totally correct or convenient. What does that teach us today? You're supposed to submit to your husband, you know, even when it's not very convenient for you. Now, of course, you don't submit to someone that is blatantly wrong in the Word of God. You know, there's scripture, the balance for that. You find that in Colossians. He says, obey wives as it is fit in the Lord. For instance, let me be very explicit. If your husband says, you know, you can't worship God, you can't submit to that. Hello? Now, if he says, you come to my church and don't go to your own church, now, that's different. He didn't say you shouldn't worship God. He's just insisting on where you go. For harmony in the home, sometimes you go with him. However, you know, you can explain to him. And that's where this other thing in verse 1 comes in. He says, if your behavior is good, he says, you will convince the man without talking. I know a lot of women in this church who maybe their husbands don't come to this church, but their husbands endorse their coming to this church and support them over many years because they see the way they behave. And they see the way they pray. And they see that they are being blessed because of their wives. Amen. But if you don't have any sort of testimony, you're always fighting and quarreling. Hello. And pretend the man's like, what kind of church are you even going? So this thing is that's why we're going back to this thing of honesty of heart, which I spoke about extensively also on Wednesday. You know, when they said to Jesus, he said, does it mean you should eat my flesh and drink my blood? Of course they knew he wasn't talking about that. They were just being dishonest to look for an excuse not to do what he said. In the same way, this honesty of heart is so important in the way you interpret scripture. That's why it says, do not handle the word of God deceitfully. Don't handle it. You can take the word of God and handle it. Is God saying that you should not submit to your husband? No, submit to your husband, but within the limits of the word of God. So when the word of God is clear and is fundamental, of course you can submit to it. But even when you don't submit, you don't do it with the wrong attitude. Even when you can't do what he says because it's contrary to the Bible, for instance, let me give another extreme. This is an extreme example. It won't happen if you have a Christian husband, but maybe you have a husband who's not a Christian. Maybe he's of another religion, and you become a Christian. Then he now says, "Okay, my wife, we have a problem. We have to go to this person who is doing some like a witch." Or a native doctor, and then they want you to go through. You can't submit to that. You can't submit. You must not submit to that. You cannot follow the man and say you are going to one herbalist or something that's going to do some kind of incantation and that kind of thing. Now, no woman, no Christian woman must submit to that. You will say, no, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. However, you don't say we fight. You say, you're my husband. You know, I love you. I respect you. I want the best for you. My faith will not permit me to do that. I will not go with you. I will pray. God will help us. If you insist on going, you can go, but I cannot go, and I will not go with you, and I don't agree with that. Hello? That's the balance. Is this clear? I give that as an extreme example. But in many cases, the examples are not like that. You know, it's just some little thing, you know, and if you behave, if you play your cards properly, you will have a lot of credit with your husband or your wife. And when you say you want something, they will say it's okay. But when your attitude is wrong and you're always, you know, rambunctious and quarrelsome and all of that, even when ordinarily he would have said yes, he would say no. Because he's trying to prove that you cannot come to this house and come and tell me what to do. I'm not talking to anybody here. Where are the African men? They're from me, Afro man. Glory be to God. Oh. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to get to us in a minute. I'm going to walk all over us too. Amen. But I thank God for the Bible. It's a balanced book. But let's finish what we're doing here. So, Sarah submitted to Abraham, you know, even when it was not convenient. Let's use that expression. And you know what? This is the good part about that thing. God came through on her behalf. When you submit with the right attitude, do you know God will back you? He will defend you. God didn't allow Sarah, even though she submitted to her husband, so that, and she did it, watch this. I didn't even pick this, I just picked it now. She did it because of love. She didn't want him to kill her husband. The reason why Abraham told her to say, "You're my sister," is because he was afraid those people would kill him. And of course she loved her husband. That's why love must be the motivation of everything you do. And because, okay. And then praying quietly that, God, you have to, this man has put me in his harem. Hey, man comes in the middle of the night and wants to sleep with me. What am I going to do? Hello? Hello? And this is not 2017 where you have human rights and... In those days when the king's law word was law, he could do as he seemed good unto him. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he kept alive. She was, I can imagine, put yourself in Sarah's situation. He's sitting inside a harem, not knowing what's going to happen. And to make matters worse, at that time she had already taken in for Isaac. That was why she was looking younger and fresher and attractive. Nobody's going to go and put a 90-year-old woman inside any harem. Trust me. The Bible says she was fair to look upon. People, go and read your Bible properly. Genesis 17 was where God appeared to Abraham and said, "Be upright, circumcise yourself." It was Genesis 18 where Sarah laughed. Genesis 19 was Sodom and Gomorrah. It's sequential. Genesis 20 was after she had taken in. The Bible says she received strength to conceive. So she was now looking, her youth has had to be renewed. So she was looking fine. And that was why the man's eye went there. So I'm sure she was like, "Hey, God, have mercy. If this man, what is this king, comes in the middle of the night?" But you know, that's the thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God will always show up. He's never in a hurry, but he's always on time." Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. He allowed her to be taken into the harem. And you'll be thinking, God! That's where we have to be godly women. It says, be like Sarah. A woman who also knows God. You know, Sarah, she laughed about 9 months before, or about a year before, when God came and said, "You're going to have a son." And said, "Can I ever have a son?" And God said, "You laughed." He said, "You will see." You know? And now she had conceived. Now she knew it was true. So her faith in God had been renewed. So she said, "God, okay. I know this baby is precious. You won't allow anything to happen to it." And God didn't. Before Abimelech could even think about doing anything, When did God come to him? In a dream in the night. And defended her. So when you submit, women, God will defend you. Do you hear me? You submit and pray. God will defend you. God will strengthen you. Hallelujah. God will not allow you to be just abused and misused and everything. He will show up on your behalf. But stay, daughter of Sarah. Keep Sarah's attitude. Hallelujah. And that's what we learned from these beautiful stories. You know. And then last, we're going to start closing. Yeah, we're going to get to the men now. I'm going to start with you. I won't finish with you. Likewise, ye husbands. Just stop there. That's enough revelation. Hello? In other words, how many want their wives to submit to them? I do. Hello? Keep your hand up. If you're a man and you want your wife to submit to you, says, ye wives, be subject to your husband, that if any husband does not do the word of God, that you will win her. If you're not married, it doesn't matter. You know, it just means that at least that's your intention. You know, you want your wife, you know, to submit to you. You want her to be able to win without talking. You want that? Then you do likewise. Give the Lord a clap offering. Likewise. What's good for the goose? Likewise. The Holy Spirit. Likewise. So if you want your wife not to be quarrelsome, you don't want her, you want her to be submissive, you don't want her to be talk, then you too be humble. You too be submissive. And you don't talk. It's likewise. Hello? So everything the woman was asked to do, the man is also asked to do. Because it is likewise. Only mommy and pastor. It was the men that were shouting the other time. Every man that agrees with me, say amen. That's better. Thought you say likewise. Women, anytime he begins to talk nonsense in his house, just remind him, likewise. I'm the head of this home. You must submit to me. Just say, likewise. And this is not just Peter. You know, Paul says the same thing. I don't know any African man particularly, or Asian, you know, some of us from these are cultures which are very egocentric and male chauvinism. You know, we like to dominate and prove. You know, I think practically most people, most men in our societies, they know, they may not know this, they don't know the Bible very well, but there's one scripture that every man can quote, is that the Bible says, woman, submit to your husband. I am the head of this home. I will show you. Unfortunately, they don't read the verse before. This is sad. Now, let's read the one before. Hello. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves. Don't your neighbor say that's plural, you know. Male and female. Hello. To one another in the fear of. Then verse 22. Why submit? So the point is this. That's why that Peter, the same Holy Spirit that spoke through Paul, through Peter, speaking through Paul. This is a mutual submission. Do you understand? And you see, I submit to my wife. I'm not afraid of my wife. I'm not afraid of her. My wife is not afraid of me. You know who we're afraid of? God. A threefold cord is not easily broken. The person that is in between the two of you is God the Holy Spirit. And he's the person you submit to. So sometimes my wife will say something and I'll say, I don't agree. Even though I'm pastor, man, so bele koko. I'm on my leg on. Thank God for my wife. Amen. I can be very, and still am sometimes. It's the truth. Like this guy is preaching to me. He said likewise. Thank you. I've reminded me of what I preached. You know, but seriously, you know, we must submit to one another in the fear of God. So sometimes I feel strongly about something, and I do. And I say, no. Then I go and pray. And the Holy Spirit said, ah, I think your wife said, it's not as bad as you think it is. And look at this. Say, ah, it's true. Now I go and meet her. So, well, I'm sorry. You know, but this is what I felt before. You know, but now, you know, after prayer, I've looked at this. Okay, let's do what God says. That is it. It is submitting one to another in the fear of God. I've said this. I'm going to start round now. You know, I've said over the years, God always defends the woman. He doesn't mean he doesn't defend the man. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's inside the scripture. Let's finish reading the scripture. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I did a research. I went to check that word knowledge. It's not epignosis. It's gnosis. It's not epignosis. It is gnosis. I went to check it. Epignosis is perfect, complete revelation knowledge, you know. This gnosis just means, it's just natural knowledge. You know, women are weaker physically. I'm sure you know that. You don't need epignosis for that. You need epignosis to know that the woman is physically weaker and emotionally weaker. And I'm going to put this thing there at first. See, because as a woman grows spiritually, she becomes emotionally stronger. And becomes emotionally more stable. And what will make ordinary women cry? She can cry, but she can control it. That's what the fruit of the Spirit does. Are you listening to me? But they don't start there. The way God made man and woman, He such made us such that the man is initially emotionally stronger and certainly physically stronger than the woman. That's why in the Olympics, you don't have women and men in the same 100 meters. They don't need epignosis for that. That is gnosis. Am I talking to anybody here? Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, again, qualified not spiritually, but weaker emotionally, weaker physically at first. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now this is whole pregnant, but let's break it down in a very simple and a practical way. What is God saying to us husbands and to our wives and to all of us as Christians generally? Because this message is for all of us. You know, in other words, the thread that runs through everything we have said and that we're still saying now is the thread of humility. Right attitude. Whether it is to government, whether it's your boss at work, whether it is to your wife, whether it is to your husband, is the same thread. That's why I said likewise, likewise, likewise. You will find that if you go to this First Peter, if you go back to chapter verse 1, you'll see likewise there too. So it's likewise to how you treat the government. Is likewise to how you treat your boss in the office. Go and read it in chapter 2. Servants, be submitted to your employers. You know, honor the king. You know, honor all men. It's the same likewise. So what the Holy Spirit is telling us is that all of us, whether your husband, whether your wife, whether your boss, whether your president, whether your worker, who everybody have an right attitude. The attitude of humility. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Now, he tells husbands that they should honor their wives because they are physically and at first, initially, emotionally weaker than men. And that's where we get etiquette from. And open the door for your wife and let her go first. And we see ladies say, that's from Bible. Amen. Why you hold a woman's hand, you know, when she's doing it? Because she's not as strong as you. Sometimes, you know, you don't want her to fall and that kind of thing. That's why you do it. You know, you open the car. Of course, you can open the car herself, but you're stronger. Hello? I don't want someone to say African men. I was looking at me. Holy Ghost. In our language, that means you will open the door for her. It's just Bible culture. It's honor. It doesn't make you a woman rapper. Thank God for my wife. Amen. You know, treat women. Treat them with honor. You know, I'll tell you something else. You know, it is true that men are physically stronger than women. That is very true. Do you understand? But you know where God put their strength? When they're giving birth. When you see a woman in labor, you will know she's stronger than you. That reproductive equipment that is inside women has innate strength. So God took a little bit of the physical strength and then put it there, because that's what they're going to need to bring forth. Are you listening to me? And without women, you won't be here. I'm going to repeat that. I don't think some of the men got it. You know, I said, without a woman, you will not be here. That's why every man should honor women. And women, without the men, you won't be here. And that is why every woman should honor the man. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. God's balanced this thing. Are you listening to me? Alright. So, this is very, very important. Now, another point I want to make, you know, is that in Christ there is no male or female. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Before you go to Galatians, I want us to look at this scripture in the Message Bible and then Amplified. This verse 7. Just look at it in Message. I like this. You know, it's in just everyday English, but it captures a particular spirit I like. It says, the same goes for you, husbands. I didn't hear you. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages. But in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Don't your neighbor say you're equals. I don't like that in Africa. I don't like it in China and some other places. But that's what the Bible says. Amen? Men are not superior to women. Women are not, certainly not, superior to men. We're equal. We're equal in Christ Jesus. Hello? Hello? Koshele Mengaras, the daughters of Zelophehad. In the Old Testament, it was written that if you don't have a son, you lose your inheritance. But aren't the girls human beings? Were they not made in the image and likeness of God?
Are they not just the man with the womb? They are men. That's why they are woman. Woman is the man with the womb. Hello? So, these girls picked it from the Holy Spirit and said, we're going to meet Oga Moses about this issue. They're going to meet Oga Moses. So they go and meet Moses. I say, Moses, our father has no son, but they don't want to take our father's inheritance and give it away because we're girls. Moses said, this is a very serious matter. I need to go and talk to God about this. Goes to God. You know what God says? He says, they are right. Give the Lord a clap offering. Those of you who, until you born man, you never born begin. You are wrong. You are totally wrong. Sometimes girls are even better than many boys. Ruth, a girl that is better to thee than seven sons. Give the Lord a clap offering. Treat them as equals. So when you are dividing your inheritance, don't give it only to your sons. Same thing for the girls, same thing for the boys. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. There's nothing a man can do, a woman cannot do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust me. Amen? And then this idea of making women second-class citizens does not come from the Bible. Right, and that's why I give it to you from the Old Testament. Right from old time. When God finds a good one, look at Ruth. Look at Ruth. She was not even the biological child. She was the daughter-in-law. And look at the honor and the inheritance. Naomi had almost lost everything. Her husband had died. Her two sons had died. She came back empty, in quotes, but with a girl. With a girl. And it was this girl that God now hooked up with Boaz. And then what Naomi would never have had, she now got into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ through a girl. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, please, brethren and friends, treat your wives. I didn't hear you. Then as equals, so your prayers don't run aground. Let's say it this way. I got to close. But this is such an important topic. Let's say it this way. Your attitude towards your wife will affect your prayers. I didn't say action. No, I said attitude. So you're wondering why some of your prayers are not working. He's not a devil, though. I bind that devil. The devil is inside you. Hello? The devil is not the devil. It's you. Treat them with honor. Have a right attitude. Treat them as equals. Then your prayers will work. You look down on her, you fight and quarrel, you're going to hinder your own prayers. This is not only, but this thing works the same way. It works crosswise. Woman, you have a wrong attitude towards your husband, it's going to affect your own prayers. God is teaching us to submit to one another in the fear of God. And when we submit, we're humble. Then when we're humble, what do we get? Grace. When there's grace, then the prayer will work. When there's not enough grace, the prayer will not work. Is it clear? Very simple, really. There's no big theology about it. Let me say one last thing that's very important, and then I'll make another point and close. And it is this, like I was saying earlier on, that God defends the woman, but it's true on both sides of the equation. But in particular, the woman, because in history, ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan hates the woman because it was the seed of the woman that we bruised the head of the serpent. So go and check the history in all societies, not only here in Africa, all over the world. Women have always been abused, downtrodden, you know, misused and all that. That's the devil. It's the devil operating through all of those cultures. So to help the woman and to honor the woman, God puts certain things inside the scripture. And one of them is this. It's a lesson I want every man, Christian and non-Christian, to listen to me very carefully. If you deal treacherously against the wife of your youth, the person that will deal with you is not the woman, is God. You know what? He will kill you. No, amen. Oh, so amen. The word of God is true. And I've seen examples in my own lifetime. Of course, I didn't do that, but I've seen people, because the man is strong, he has the money, he has the contacts, and all that. This woman who struggled with him when he was young, you know, and then suddenly he gets money, and then he just puts her to one side and go and get one small girl and plants her by the side. Ah, when God sees that, he says, it's time for fight. It's time for fight. Eh? She's helpless, Abby. She doesn't. I will fight for her. Don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. You say it is God. It's also in the New Testament. You say it is God who takes vengeance on such, because he defends the fatherless and the widow. He defends the defenseless. She doesn't have the power to fight you. She does not have the, you know, especially in this kind of Nigeria, God is changing our judiciary in Jesus' name. Even the judge that's going to judge the case, he is guilty. Oh no, niya okekere come become. And then you now come before him, and the woman is saying, "Oh my Lord, I plead my case." Woman will be like, So who has to fight for you? God. Men, don't try it. Honor your wife. Children as equal. If there's a problem, let it be judiciously, and you know, but not that you just oppress and you just, you know, The person who is going to fight that fight is not man, is God. Don't do it. Galatians 3:28. Have I helped anybody here? Only the women like me today. Amen. They didn't like me last week, but they like me today. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 20, sorry, Galatians. I gotta close. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching me happy. Okay. Now, this is black and white. Again, you don't need epignosis, but this one's just gnosis. Is this clear? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. And there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. I believe this. I believed it for many years. I still believe it. That in Christ, there is nothing a man can do a woman cannot do. Now, I know in leadership, God prefers the final authority to be a man, simply because he made man first and woman second. But that does not stop God, and he has done it over the years. You go and read 3 John, you find that it was written to an elect lady. She was the head of that church. Possibly because there were no men who were responsible enough. Praise the Lord. But the point is this. A woman can be an apostle. She can be a prophet. She can be a pastor. She can be a teacher. She can be an evangelist. There is nothing men can do that women cannot do. Spiritually. The same anointing, the same Holy Ghost that is upon the men is also upon the women. So the women can teach, they can preach, they can prophesy, they can do anything the man can do. This question of, let women be silent, is just a misunderstanding. They took the letter of the scripture and missed the spirit. In that culture, the women were getting up in church and talking about their husbands and all that. Supposed, don't do that. Did the word of God come out from you? Said, respect your husband when you're in church. If you have anything, when you get home, talk about it. It was in that social context. He was not saying women cannot preach. Priscilla and Aquila, the woman preached. You have to read your Bible properly. Are you listening to me? So there is nothing
men can do spiritually that women are also not capable of doing. They can do it just as well and sometimes even better. And we're not going to be judged on whether we're a man or woman. We're going to be judged on how we dealt with the Word of God in our lives. Every woman, just like every man, can grow into perfection, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That will be something to behold. We've seen Jesus, the scriptures, and we've seen Paul and Peter and some of the other apostles. I want to see women in full perfection. The fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That will be a woman. Aha! And people say, hey, so this is what it's like. And there are going to be women like that in the same time. I think I'm looking at some of them. Hallelujah. And they will be an example. Who say, it can be done. This is what I'm telling you now is the very heart of God. Yeah, we know men because we've seen Jesus and some of the apostles, but we'll see women. And they will be as emotionally stable as any man. What will make an ordinary man cry will not make them cry. You know why? They're like Jesus now.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That means, I don't say they won't cry because Jesus too wept. So it doesn't mean they won't, but it will be controlled. Everything will be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Selah. Talk to God this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If a man can do it, a woman can do it. If a man can grow in the measure of stature of fullness of Christ, a woman can do it. So it's not just Peter, James, and John. It's just not the women. You know, because in the New Testament, we don't see the examples of their wives. It wasn't highlighted in the scripture. You know. We know Peter had a wife. We don't even know her name. You know, John certainly probably married later on. We don't know. You know, Paul we know didn't marry. You know, Jude and many of these older. You know, so we go away with the mental impression that it's only men that can be really spiritual. It's not true. It's not true. Scripture says, in Christ there is no male or female. A woman can grow into the perfection, the fullness of Christ, and manifest the glory of God just like Jesus did, and carry it with the love, the dignity, and the honor of a woman, and become an example. And so many other women will start running after them, following after their example. Talk to God. Draw me close to you.
Never let me go.
Lay it all down again.
To heal.
You say that I'm your friend. Hallelujah. You are my desire. For both man and woman.
You are my desire, Lord.
No one else will do.
Cause nothing else can take your place.
Nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth.
To feel the warmth.
Of your embrace.
Find a way.
Start again.
Hallelujah.
You are my desire. This has been such a time in the Word, and this is so appropriate. You're all I want, you're all I need. Draw me close to you. See, folks, as we've short, Jesus is everything, man or woman. You want to be the perfect woman? The more like Jesus you are, the more of that perfect woman you become. You want to be the perfect husband and father? The more like Jesus you are, the more of that husband and father you become. That's it, folks. That's it. That's it. That's it. Stop thinking of yourself as man or woman or husband or wife. Think of yourself like Jesus. And every other thing will fit in. It will all fall into place. Now tell God, we sang it as a song, but I want to tell God to say, God, draw me close to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever need. I want you, Lord. I know I have you. I'm born again. But I want you in my mind. I want you in my will. I want you in my emotions. I want you in my body. I want you all around, Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. And I want people to be able to see you in me, even without me talking. So I can be that to my husband, and I can be that to my wife, and I can be that to my children, and I can be that in my office, and I can be that, you know, in my workplace, and I can be like that in my business. This is what it's all about, folks. That's what this Bible study has been all about. Likewise. 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 Now raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning. Lord, putting me into remembrance that, Lord God, you want us, men and women, to be conformed to your image, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, your character, love and joy, peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance in our souls, my mind, in my will, in my emotions, in my body, so that when people see me, when they interact with me, they will be interacting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, and you will help me to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better mother, to be a better person in society. Oh God, oh God, you are all I want. You are all I ever needed. Help me, help me, help me to know you're near. Let this go from words to become reality in my actions, in my behavior, in my substance, in my essence, and in my being, in Jesus' name. Neka tolo mosho fredes. Lipike tofredes kofredengara. Lepredes tofres. Zifrike tofrenenges. Lekredolo moshoku. Zelepredo fredes. Lingredolo mostofre. Lingredos kofredes. Liketolo moshaki tofres. Lombridik tofredes. Angardolo mosh. Zifrio yokotofre. Mangaka. Mangardolo motulo mosh. Zifrio longa tolo mosh. Ziki tofre. Langa tromotolo motulo motofresh. Lombrik tofresh. Tokromotolo motulo motofre do freshengaras. Tofridik tokromotolo motofresh. Lambre katolo motolo motolo aratos kefenes. Lingardolos tofenes. Ziki tofenes. Zofenes. Mangiros. Chiki tofes, mangaras, tufinis, tolo mangaras, tufinis, zofredeles, zofridurs, tolo mangar dufes, zifridis, nera tusk, zefrenengars, nombrdolos, tufinis, nengars, toskafrenes, kakofrene. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give a lot of super glab offering. Hallelujah. Amen.